Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 conference call of Craftsman Automation Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director from Craftsman Automation Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining this earnings call. It gives me a lot of pleasure to address you again after one quarter. We have had a reasonable performance in Q2 in spite of the large headwinds we had regarding the war as well as the looming recession in Europe and U.S. We have, as a company, performed reasonably well because our broad-based strategy about and a good product mix and a reasonable execution. I'll just run you through the headlines and the highlights of this quarter and leave more time for the Q&A. We have clocked a sales of 1,447 crore vis-à-vis 1,000 crore on H1 last year. PBT of 180 crore comparable, which is 62% higher than last year, H1. PAT of 116 crore, which is 61% higher. EBIT of 337 crore, which is 34% higher than H1 of last year. I will just run you through the ratios, the financial ratios. Debt equity has improved to 0.58. Debt to EBITDA is 1.08. EBITDA margins is slightly reduced from 24% to 23%. EBIT has increased from 15% to 16%. PBT has improved from 11% to 12%. I'm comparing with the last financial year. PAT has improved from 7% to 8% now. Current ratio is 1.16. Return on capital employed, pre-tax annualized for H1 is 24%. For last year, it was 20%. ROE annualized is 20%. For last year, it was 15%. I will also give the headline numbers for the segment-wise revenue. Auto powertrain has clocked a revenue of 726 crore vis-à-vis 524 crore over H1 last year. Aluminum products, 368 over 242 last year, last H1. Industrial engineering, 353. Comparable H1 for last year was 234. The EBIT margins have shown some fluctuations, but I will explain that later. Auto powertrain, the EBIT has been 188. Comparable H1 was 148 last year. Aluminum products has 35 crore EBIT. Comparable 19 crore last year. Industrial engineering, 35 crore. H1 last year was 6 crore. Overall, our EBIT is 229 for H1. Comparable to H1 of last year was 151. With this, I will leave the floor open to question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah. You mentioned in your opening remarks about the fluctuations in the EBIT margin. If you can spend maybe a couple of minutes explaining the fall in EBIT margin in both the powertrain and the aluminum segment. That is the first question. The second question is your guidance of CapEx for the full year, because if I recall correctly, in the 4Q call of last year and the 1Q call of this year, you had indicated a number of about 225 or so, whereas in the first half itself, I think the company's clocked a CapEx of about 170-180. So what is the guidance, renewed guidance for the full year? These are the two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Regarding the EBIT margins, on the auto powertrain, we have grown, but it was a slightly disproportional growth on the with material business and the other machining charges business. So I think there is a small margin drop, which is optical. In the aluminium business, on Q2, we had a sequential month-on-month drop in the raw material prices. And normally, we carry an inventory of 8 to 10 weeks, 12 weeks with the raw material or in-process goods all put together. So we had to take a hit on the raw material a little, and so that increased the costs and that depressed the EBIT margins. But overall, I think overhead absorption has been very good on the industrial engineering business. Plus, also the steel prices being more stable, the bulk of the revenue, which is the growth, has also come from the storage solutions. So we have seen margin expansion on the industrial engineering. So it has been a mixed bag. Overall, as a company, I think we are in line with the margins, whatever we had in the previous quarters. Coming to the CapEx, last year we grew by 40%, and now the growth also, it is almost more than 40%. So we had to do some little capacity balancing CapEx, and we had guided, yes, 225 crore, 250 crore in the region for the CapEx. We have come in, already done 150 crore. In April of this year, we received quite a sizable order for aluminium in the business, which we didn't expect to be done in this particular financial year. But customer needs the production to start in this financial year itself at the end of Q4. So we had an additional CapEx of 70 crore, which is underway. So we are trying to control the CapEx in spite of the unplanned CapEx of 75 crore to 275 crore. So we'll be around 275 crore this year. I think this is CapEx will be vindicated by the situation that we had 2 years, 40% CAGR growth year on year. And we'll leave some headroom for further growth if it happens in Q4.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Just one follow-up. So for this year, if you're building 275, should we look at lower capex next year?
No, as it is, the plan is around the same level only, provided we have guided the market for 20% CAGR. So in spite of the 40% what we are clocking now, we are hoping to clock 20% next year totally. But the base has become absolutely high because we will be very close to around 2,900 crore this year. And then we are looking at more than 20% growth. Then we need to understand that there will be some capex. But we are, if we grow at 20%, we will be still containing the capex in the region of 250 crores. And I want to also remind that our depreciation is hovering around 210 to 220 crore this region. So it is the net block will not be increasing, or the capital employed also will not be increasing. Even the working capital, we have, in spite of the top line growth, we are able to manage the working capital situation. So overall debt also is under control.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, can you give value addition figure of each segment in Q2?
Yes, I will give it. For Q2 of this year, value addition for auto powertrain is 232 crore, aluminium product 68, industrial engineering is 76.
Thank you. Sir, in a powertrain business, more customers are now asking to buy material this time. So pure machining or the value addition will go down in the coming quarter. So this will impact your margin going ahead?
No, this will not impact margins going ahead. There are products which are casting intensive. There are certain products which are machining intensive. Cylinder blocks fully finished are machining intensive. So there, I don't think there is any change there. But the tractor segment where the structural parts, the casting to machining prices are very much skewed. So there it may change there. But overall, I think our value addition as a segment of the business has increased quarter on quarter also. But the it is not equal, so that's what I wanted to mention.
And sir, first half tractor production was strong, but going ahead it will be muted in the second half. So how do you see the impact on the powertrain business margin? Will it be continued at the lower side?
We is already muted in Q2 because we are impacted a little earlier than the numbers which is actually sold in retail or by the OEMs. So even in Q2 itself, we are highly impacted on the tractor. I don't see that number dropping very much in Q3. It is already at a very low level in Q2.
There are a couple of questions from the aluminium casting side. In aluminium business, now margin has gone down to despite a strong growth in the top line. As you mentioned that this is because of the inventory, old inventory. So going ahead, what sort of the margin do you see and what would be the growth driver for the margin?
I would clarify that inventory is not old inventory. For any company to work, we need 8 weeks to 10 weeks inventory because of the different product segments and two different locations for manufacturing, plus also WAP is there, some finished goods for customers will be there. So we are around between around 8 weeks, it may be plus minus depending on the particular quarter, inventory is there. So the pricing now, the mechanism is more straightforward where it is fair to customer as well as to supplier. It is moving very smoothly. So it is not a delayed impact that when the price goes down, we get a benefit in the current quarter because we are billing at a higher rate and next quarter it will be down. No, it's not like that. It is happening more in the live situation. So we had we have reduced the selling price to our customer in line with the market price drop in aluminium, which has dropped by around 10% approximately in the retail. We look at the LME prices or the product prices, input raw material prices, it dropped by 10%. So that impact has slowly has affected us on the costs a little. So it looks a little optically that we are not performed, but I think as a company, as a division, it is going in the same line as Q1.
So now in aluminium casting business, 80% revenue comes from the two-wheeler only, which is only casting products, not a machining. As you will move into the more passenger vehicle and CVs, your margin will see sharp expansion. So just wanted to understand what is the current mix and how do you see the mix ahead in aluminium products?
I wish to clarify 95% of our castings, we machine it. Whether it is two-wheeler, four-wheeler, commercial vehicle or industrial aluminium, more than 95% is machined. And the product segment today, the two-wheeler business as a segment has come down totally. Two-wheeler is approximately in the aluminium business is 68%. Passenger vehicles is around very low. I think the 2%. Commercial vehicle is around 9%, and non-auto aluminium products is around 15%.
So despite the improvement in the mix for the passenger vehicle, CVs and non-automotive parts, your margin has not expanded. And going ahead, you are also looking for the good orders for the export side, especially for the battery, motor housing and all these things. So what would be the margin visibility going ahead and the top line growth?
The margin, the aluminium price, we had to take an impact of 10% because this is a steep drop of aluminium prices, which if you look at the trend, it is a quarter on quarter, there's a drop of 10%. Because of we had to take that brunt, the margin looks depressed. Actually, the margins have been in line with the Q1, the operational margins at least.
Okay, thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Continuing on the aluminium business margins, so what you are indicating is that we had to give the 10% price reduction because of the change in the aluminum pricing in LME. However, we did not get that benefit in our actual sourcing. Is that the reason why margins are impacted?
See, the 10% is not on one single drop. It is month-on-month drop. So overall, I think we have been impacted around 5% because of the pipeline inventory what we had. So the 5% is on the raw material means is around 4% on the top line totally.
Right. Okay. So it's primarily the difference between the timing difference between what when you realize the benefit versus when you have passed on the benefit to customers because of which margin.
Yes, around 3 to 4% it has impacted on the top line.
Got it. And secondly, can you share the value-add data for 2QFY22 as well across three segments?
Can you come again? You asked for the value addition for Q2 or H2, H1, I didn't understand.
2QFY22, same quarter last year.
Q2FY22, okay. Value addition on Q2FY22 was on auto powertrain was 88 crore. Aluminium products was 80, and industrial engineering was 94.
And this 94 crores is including, I mean, after excluding aluminium industrial segment, right?
No, it is reclassified already. See, what happened to Apple Q2 FY23, I've read the numbers in sequence. The FY22 auto powertrain was 88. And Q2 FY23 was 146. Aluminium products Q2 FY22 was 80 crore. Q2 FY23 was 128. Oh, sorry. I'm reading the wrong numbers.
Yeah,
I'm listening, reading the COGS. I'll read the value addition. Okay. Q2 on the value addition portion for auto powertrain has been 203 crore and Q2 for this year is 232. Aluminium products was 61 crore last year. This year Q2 has been 68 crore. Okay. Industrial engineering was 42 and this year it is 76.
Got it. And would you be having storage solution revenue for this year and last year?
Yes, we have the... You want a quarter on quarter or you would like to have H1 over H1?
2QFY22 or 2QFY22?
Okay. Q2FY22, I will not have it.
Okay.
Q2, sir? Q2 storage
100.
I will read H1 and last year and H1 to this year. Okay, a storage solutions for FY22 as a whole was 253 and Q1 FY23 was 88 and Q2 FY23 was 111. And if you compare H1 and H2, H1 FY22 was 134 and this year H1 FY23 has been 199.
Okay, got it. And are we seeing increasing salience of automated storage in this number or that is yet to see a material ramp up?
No, sorry, I think the line is not so clear or I think it is echoing. I'm not sure. I'm not able to
hear you. Sorry, just give me a second. So are we seeing increasing salience of automated storage in this number?
Automotive storage, no. It is general storage solutions across all segments, end-use segments. It is not automotive storage.
Okay.
Thermal storage is negligible percentage.
Right. And lastly, would you comment on any new order wins in current quarter and till October? Have you seen any major new order wins in either powertrain or aluminium side?
So we are getting a continuous inflow of new customers and new orders. At the same time, there is some attrition which is happening at the other end. The older products are going out. So overall net, I think we are having traction for growth. The timeline for each of these projects are different, and it is linked to certain, sometimes it is emission, sometimes it is new model launch, it is also related to strategy. So I don't want to talk about customers. Now we have taken for the company, when we are looking at 20% growth next year, we are more looking at as a strategy that what is realistically going to come. We have to cannot add up all the numbers of the customer projections and project it to our investors that will be giving a wrong picture. I think there will be some failures from customer side, or there may be some delay in projects. So overall, I think the traction is good enough for a 20% growth.
Okay. And this, the aluminum order which we got in April 22 for which we are putting up this capex, how big would be the annual revenues from this order?
We can expect for FY 24 a 150 crore revenue. FY 23 will be transition period.
Fair point. 150 crore on a full year.
FY 25, 150 crore. FY 24 will be ramp up period.
Okay. Got it. Great. Thanks and all the best. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of T.S. Vijay Sarathy from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So just want to understand, so you said it's because of WIP metal that the margin sequentially has fallen. So just want to understand what kind of product that we actually for source material and make it raw and then sell it out. Or is it within the cylinder block and cylinder head that there is some customer specification? You know, some clarity on that, because this we've experienced both in first quarter as well as second quarter, both on a YOY basis and sequential basis.
This is related to only aluminium product. Aluminium is the basic raw material we have to buy. So there the price have dropped. So that has impacted all the aluminium products.
Now, I'm talking about the powertrain division where there has been less of machining and more of with metal. Just wanted to understand, is there any different product category apart from cylinder and cylinder blocks that is?
No, we have a lot of parts. We have transmission parts, gearbox parts. We have other also structural parts are also there, everything. And also what you need to take into account is the commodity prices have gone up. So that itself will fluctuate and depress the numbers, EBITDA numbers. Only the top line will go up.
Okay, so this we witnessed both in Q1 and Q2 on a YOY basis. Sir, does this situation continue even going forward?
Yeah, it will continue because commodity prices are settled at a higher level now. Yes.
Okay. And with respect to aluminium business, sir, so this 125 crore that you said in FY25, this is over and above the peak revenue of 650 crores that you would reach based on your existing capacity. Am I right, sir, or this is included in?
Already the run rate on the aluminium products as a whole, we have clocked 196 crore revenue in the last quarter.
Yeah.
So we are already at a run rate of around 800 crore.
800, okay, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Right, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Melody Investment. Please go
ahead. So what is our net debt? And the cost of borrowing, and what is our plan to reduce it?
The cost of borrowing is, I think, very, very competitively we are borrowing, thanks to our lenders, bankers, and also financial institutions. The whatever we call, we look at as financial cost, is also the other, as per India standards, the lease rentals what we are paying is classified as depreciation and financial cost. As per accounting standards, that is why the financial cost looks high. I would say 70% is actual financial cost, 30% is related to interest and depreciation classified in Ind AS. And the borrowings, we look at it sequentially, quarter on quarter, the borrowings is same.
Okay. Because I want to say that if you share any presentation, investor presentation or such details, so it will be more beneficial for us to understand company better. Yeah. Thank you.
I think the borrowings are quite straightforward. I think there is a term borrowing and there is a short-term borrowing. Overall, I think it is sometimes changing a little, but overall it is at around 720 crores now.
Yeah, 720, yeah.
Mr. Agarwal? Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hi, sir. Great set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. So firstly, if you can spend some time on this high-end precision products, what sort of traction are you seeing? This goes to us, a lot goes to the capital goods industry. So what traction do you see there? That's my first question.
And the traction is not picked up to the extent what we expected, because of the current headwinds in the global economy. We would have seen it going better. But overall, the current set of customers, current set of products, everything is doing well. We are adding more product portfolio there also. There will be some time delay between that. The gestation period will be there before we can scale up. So overall, we're seeing good traction in the industrial engineering segment. Overall, inclusive of the precision sub-assemblies and products in the contract manufacturing side.
So here, almost everything, are we exporting in this?
Mostly we are exporting, yes.
Okay. And if you could tell which would be your top, top three or top five products, what is the breakup of this 90 crore quarterly revenue? It will help us better understand the number.
The export, per quarter is, we are clocking around 40-50 crores, something like this.
40 crores
on the industrial engineering segment, right? Totally.
Okay, so 40 out of 90 is exports.
Yes.
What are we exporting in that? What is the product in that 40 crore?
We are exporting major to North America, to Europe, and to also Japan. Each of the customers are different. End usage is different. Somebody is in valve manufacturing, some are gearbox manufacturing. One is in oil and gas, the other is in printing, the another is cartoon box manufacturing. So it is quite a diversified in requirement. As a contract manufacturer, we are making products to their design, and also we are making fully finished machines also, tested here, and we ship it to the end customer. So it is too diverse.
Okay, but the level of the engineering and the details which we go into, which is our strength, is that the same or it's a little low end working high end in this business?
No, the entry barrier is extremely high, and there we are not having any competition here from the Indian market, and our diverse engineering team and capability, design capability, and our manufacturing infrastructure is required to do this sort of high end assemblies. So we need to have the know-how also. So when we are making this equipment and shipping across the world, we don't have much competitors anywhere in the world.
Okay. So what visibility would you have over next, FY23 half and 24? What should be the size of the business?
This business has been steady. It has not been growing exponentially. You could have seen from our export revenue overall. We have not been adding customers aggressively there. But now I think there are some chances of adding customers now. But there will be a time gap between product development and to actual revenue. So we may see a gap of 1 year.
Okay. And sir, my question on the aluminum side. So we had this order from Peugeot Motors. So, has this started, it was supposed to start this year and then ramp up in 24-25. So how is that going?
It is product development is going on time. Infrastructure is getting set up. We'll be giving samples in Q4. The customer requires 4-5 months for testing the product. I think production will start by Q3, if not in Q2 of next financial year. And we will get, I think, 30-40% of the revenues we should be able to clock in the next financial year, subject to approval.
Achha, because we were supposed to do some 50-60 crore revenue in the FY23 out of this order. So that's the delayed. Okay.
So FY23, we were thinking that they will not go through the full product testing cycle, but I think the customer is cautious, even though the product has been tested. When it's coming from a different source, they want to go through that. So they are asking for 4 to 5 months testing period. So we cannot actually really do. We are ready. We will be ready. Thank you for.
Great. So now, lastly, this entire this demand destruction.
Sorry, you're not clearly audible.
Yeah. Okay. So last question is that this demand destruction which we expect, in Europe. So are we experiencing anything right now so you mentioned in your high-end precision, there is a, not that, the momentum of order is not very high, but in the aluminum component and the powertrain, do you see impact of this problem in Europe?
Not sent the right message. When some of the segments are growing in H1 at 40%, in the relative terms, the export order is not growing at that level. That's what I meant on the momentum side, totally. So it is the storage business is carrying one bulk of the momentum in the industrial engineering business is what I wanted to mention. But we are growing. Even on the export side, we are growing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, sir, on the powertrain segment, could you just remind us of the revenue mix there, sir? How it has been probably this quarter or the first half? Between CVs, tractors, construction equipment, etc.
Yes. I will talk for H1. That may be better, we will give a better number instead of having that. Okay. It is 385 crore for commercial vehicle.
Okay.
Off highway is 150. Farm sector 125. And passenger vehicle is 66.
Right. Thank you for that. And secondly, the power costs in Tamil Nadu have gone up. So given that we are decently power intensive, how is that expected to impact us or how much has it already impacted this quarter? Because we do have presence.
Maybe we can read out the power cost as a company. I will not be able to give it in for Tamil Nadu.
No, yeah, at the company level.
I think 60% of the power we consume is in, more than 60% is in Tamil Nadu, you're right. 40% is rest of India.
Right.
We'll decode those numbers, please, I think. You can ask the next question meanwhile.
Even if the number is not readily available, just want to understand the impact of this hike in power tariff in Tamil Nadu. So, is there an impact or are we having, say, mitigation efforts such as, sourcing via renewable, etc.? So anything like that?
Sourcing via renewable, we are weighing the options, yes. We are thinking whether to go for captive or whether to go for third party because the wheeling charges and other cross subsidy, everything all put together, I think it is becoming uneconomical and governments are changing policies regarding cross subsidy. So it might not be viable for us to take a long-term contract with any of the service providers. And getting into these third-party power purchase agreements for the future might not be viable because carbon credit, we will not get it. It might be getting valuable also in the future. So power and fuel, when compared to the whole of last financial year where we were, as a company level, we were 112 crore. We are at 70 crore for this first half of this year. So I think efficiencies of scale, I think pro rata, we are still keeping the almost the same percentage if you look at it.
Got it. And just lastly, sir, in the past you have mentioned about, you know, the EV segment within two-wheelers, you know, for the aluminum business that we have. You had mentioned about, you know, kind of looking at that and probably looking to enter that segment. So how are we placed there, given that a lot of the OEMs are expanding capacities, such as TVS, for example. So how are we looking at the aluminum business for EV two-wheelers?
Early this year, we got orders from new startup EVs. We got orders. Yes, some are under products under development. Some are already in trial production now. But overall, the numbers are little not very appealing for financial results. So it's a long way off for a minimum economic scale of this business to be fruitful as a company. So whatever revenue we have seen, this 190 odd crore in Q2 on aluminium business doesn't carry any EV portion of it. So we have factored in EV sales only next year, even though we are going to start from Q3 onwards.
Okay. So we are not aggressively, you know, looking to expand into that segment because of, you have made this clear in the past as well as to how the volumes might not scale up.
We are aggressive to take critical parts. We don't want to take simple parts on commodity pricing. And plus, at automotive pricing, we need automotive numbers, so volumes. And if it is the volumes are getting split up with 10 to 20 players, and at the same automotive price, we stand to lose. So we have to pick out the winners, we have to pick out the volumes, we have to get the pricing also right, which may be much higher than the, which we need to be, it needs to be higher because of the lower volumes. So there is a challenge there. So we don't want it to get a big development cycle. We are developing a lot of EV parts, but all parts put together, I mean, looking at the volume, it may change the top line too much. So we are very careful about how much focus we are giving towards the current state. And models also are evolving because these models have been designed in a way in the beginning, and now when it comes to cost, many models are getting redesigned for cost effectiveness by the startups. I think yes, the mature companies will do very good design to start with itself. You can see the cautious approach, which I really appreciate. And I think that the market will mature in the coming years.
Right. Great, Sumit. Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Yash Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, firstly, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. For FY23, we factor in a tax rate of 35% on account of the MAT implication. So from the next financial year, I assume that we fall back into the 25-26% bracket. Am I correct on that?
You are correct. You are absolutely correct. Still, we are having some MAT rate even post Q2. But in Q3, we may change our situation, or we may take a change in Q4 to write off the MAT credit, which will have no impact on the P&L, but we may go to a new tax structure. So we are weighing the cash outflow versus the total benefit what we have. Today, all pointers are that we are likely to move to the new tax structure in the current financial year itself.
Okay, got it. Secondly, on your guidance of 20% revenue growth in FY24, is it on a value-added basis or a reported revenue basis?
Yes, I would always say 20% on a value-added basis because top line can be different with the product mix what we have and the commodity prices. I've been always advocating the value-add portion only.
Fair enough. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chetan Gindoria from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. Sir, with respect to aluminium segment,
So while the aluminum price was going up consistently during last 1.5 years, we were impacted because of in terms of taking hit on the margins. But now that the aluminum price is coming down, so we had assumed that we would be benefiting at least for some period in terms of margin expansion, because there's generally a lag in passing on to the customer. But we are seeing exactly the opposite. So, you know, we have been impacted both on the rising commodity, on the falling commodity also. So can you explain a bit on this?
Thanks for this question. I think this is needs to be explained thoroughly before I'll clarify this. Last year, last financial year, I would say, it was with some of the customers on a trailing quarter. The trailing quarter aluminum prices were applied on the next quarter. So when the prices were continuously increasing, we were getting a lower selling price when compared to the what we are buying. So we managed to, and also the customers and entire market changed to a real-time pricing. That is the average of the current quarter or the monthly quarter, monthly correction on pricing. Both are the same, fundamentally both are the same. So that is the real-time situation where we do not have big changes from for a long time. Suppose the prices have gone down in this quarter, whatever inventory we are carrying only is having an effect. It's not having an residual effect in the going into the next quarter totally. But this average is a big problem totally overall. So I think the aluminum prices are at a level which it was, I think, 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago. I think it is now, if it is going to increase, we may get some little benefit in one quarter, maybe a very partial benefit, which will again, like this, we may have some positive operation than a negative operation. But last time it was to give a number, add a number to it, from 180 rupees a kilo, the alloy price went up all the way to 285 rupees within a year's time. And every quarter we faced the music.
Got it, sir. Sir, secondly, with respect to our aluminum segment, so now that two-wheeler contribution in the mix is declined to 68% and non-auto is increasing to 15%, so what would be the difference in margin that we earn on two-wheeler versus the non-two-wheeler side?
No, it is a mixed bag. It will be different from product to product, and there are a lot of synergies there between. There are the gravity parts, low pressure cast parts in all the three segments, in the industrial aluminum business, in the passenger vehicle, commercial vehicle, as well as in the two-wheeler business. So we have a common overhead and we are managing. But the calculation-wise, it is showing the same. The predominantly, the high pressure die casting is being used for a two-wheeler and a very little of gravity and low pressure die casting. But the margins are more or less same.
Okay, got it, sir. And lastly, the 70 crore capex that we are planning to commission for the new order on the aluminum side. So can you share some light on what is the nature of the customer or the segment? Is it a two-wheeler or an export order, domestic? Any kind of details if you can share?
No, sorry, I cannot share that, but because we had done some capex in the previous years, which we have now diverted for this particular customer order, the additional capex, what we are doing is only 70 crore. We are not saying 70 crore is the capex. We are using the current building. We are diverted many things from various other projects, and we have done it, apart from the new capex, whatever we have planned. So I would not like to share competitive information in a general platform. Sorry, I have to abstain myself there.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from BCMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes.
Great. Firstly, I just want segment-wise, I have one question for each segment. In powertrain, it was not entirely clear in the first part the reason for a Q-on-Q drop in margins. So one reason could be that, correct me if I'm wrong, that the tractors have actually gone down in the mix versus others, and tractor is supposed to be high in machining. So that could be one of the reasons. But you actually mentioned a couple of other reasons, some charges, and you mentioned commodity prices are at a higher level. So given commodity prices have decreased Q1Q, steel especially, and aluminium, how would you break down this Q1Q drop in power trade? And should we expect it to come back to normal in the next 1 or 2 quarters?
There has not been any dramatic change in the value addition between Q1 and Q2. It is the value addition has been 223 going up to 232. Practically, it is only 9 crore has been the increase in the total value addition in the auto powertrain. There has been, of course, inflation all over, whether it is salary, whether it is power or whatever may be. Plus, on certain segment of the business where we had little more profitable sunken capacity which is available, the capacity utilization was low because the farm sector went down. Some of the plants were suboptimal utilization. So it had impacted a little. But overall, I think the EBIT margins on the we had maintained, I think from it had dropped from say 95 crore to 92 crore. So overall, it is not any significant drop compared to inflation, which is 1 year apart. Sorry, say 3 months apart, where we had implemented also the salary increases what for our employees.
Got it. Okay. Next is trying to understand something in the aluminium segment. How I track this is basically I see how much the aluminium price, the average aluminium price has moved Q1Q. Then I see your overall revenue Q1Q, and then I see your value addition Q1Q. And usually it is additive in nature. But what I've seen this quarter is that aluminum prices, LME, average prices have actually gone down by about
15%. We were billing at a lower price because the price dropped. We are billing at a lower price to the customer. That is the reason for the depression in value addition in aluminum.
No. So that is not my question. My question is that the overall revenue has gone up by double-digit percentage. Despite the value addition and aluminium prices Q1Q dropping. So which would imply that the non-value added portion products have increased in the mix. Is that a correct understanding?
Non-value added products means, what do you mean by non-value added products?
Okay, so just to simplify again, the aluminium price quarter on quarter has dropped. So part of your portfolio is where you directly pass on the aluminium price. So that portion, the top line should have dropped. Then the other portion is the value-added portion, which is also Q1Q, there is a slight drop from 71 CR last quarter to 68 CR in this quarter. So, but overall on the revenue, we see that there is a double-digit growth quarter on quarter. So I'm just trying to tie how it is working out.
The revenue quarter on quarter is grown by 10%, right? Totally. Okay. It should have grown by 20% if the aluminium prices had been stable. That is the explanation.
Okay. Got it. And quickly on the margins, aluminium margins. So you mentioned that inventory hit was the reason. That is well understood. My question is, if the inventory hit had not happened, whether the aluminium price would have been same? Given the product mix this quarter, would the margins still have come at around 11-12%? And should we expect it to go back to 11-12% in the next few quarters, or would there still be a pressure on margins because of prices?
Thanks for the question. Now on the aluminium products, as I mentioned, the top line revenue has moved from 171 to 196. If the aluminium prices had not dropped, this 196 would have been approximately 205. The 205 would have resulted in another 10 crore increase in value addition. Instead of 68 crore, it would have been 78 crore. So that entire, around 10 crore would have flowed through to the EBITDA level, and that means the margin would have been normalized.
Got it. Okay. And the last question is on basically the Stellantis order. Again, it was not entirely clear at my end. Did you mention that the order around 40 to 50% would be booked in FY24 instead of the entire revenue being booked as was previously stated?
Here I have to take a little back step. Now I stop talking about customers and names. So these customer numbers do not add up. You could see that without Stellantis anything being here, we are clocking 200 crore on the business quarter, and we are continuing to grow. I think putting a customer projection here, their project delays or their product strategies or whatever is happening in Europe is impacting us. So we'll take it as it comes. So now production is supposed to start next year, yes, but how much is starting, how much will be the sale, I will not like to put a number to it now. But we can commit as a company that our aluminum business will grow by 20% next year compared to this year.
Got it. And if I could slip in one more on revenue for FY23, would you expect the second half to be materially stronger than the first half?
Oh, here it is for FY23 or FY24?
23, this year.
If the quarter three is always a challenge for inventory correction for customers, end of the year, multinational companies within the country closing down their plants for 2 weeks, plus also the automotive December production keeping it low for year of manufacture reasons, all that and the post-specification inventory correction. So all put together, we always see a challenge on Q3. It is difficult to even replicate the current Q2 and Q3, but compared to last year Q3, I think we'll be far, far better off in this Q3. Yes, Q4, if there is no further big new headwinds coming in the way of international issues, geopolitical issues, also we are still facing a huge inflation of not only for the industries but for the common man. If this continues for more time, we may see some depressed retail offtake. There may be some challenges, but we have, even factoring that in, I think Q4 will be a good number because of our diverse portfolio. If one cylinder is not kicking in, not doing well, I think we will do better on something else. So we are still very confident about Q4, not about Q3.
Understood. And thanks a lot. I'll go back to business.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jitendra Khatri from Tata Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Mr.
Khatri, I'm sorry, your line is not clear.
Yeah, thank you. Am I audible?
There's a lot of disturbance, sir.
Okay, just a second. Is it okay now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, my question was, how much of lightweighting does the aluminum division provide in automotive? So would there be a range which you can provide, like a 15 to 20% or what is the range of lightweighting?
Lightweighting still, it is not very effectively happening in India. So we are yet to see any significant change there.
Okay. So is it that the aluminum division, the products that it's making, is it that structurally it is always it has always been made in aluminum, or is it that the industry shifting to aluminum, like the housing and all those things which you make in aluminum for automotive?
Currently, what we are doing is traditionally has been in aluminum always. So we are not seeing the benefit of the industry moving to aluminum so far, which has to happen in the future, but still it's not happened.
Okay. Any reason that it has traditionally been in aluminum?
It was more suitable for aluminium from the very beginning, either it's the cost performance or it is the strength and durability requirement, and it is the near net shape requirement of the casting, which is done on high pressure die casting. So there was a big advantage of doing it in aluminium, which continues. But for the reason for lightweighting with the new aluminium prices, I think there can be a shift which may happen. But at the earlier, last year it was around 280 rupees a kilo. Now it's come to 180. So that range, I mean, approximately. So they may again look at it. But also that requires a fundamental model design change or new platforms to come in on the vehicles to accommodate these new standards. Yes, safety standards, testing has to be done. So whenever a new platform comes, only it is going to happen.
Okay. And sir, would you have any international benchmark in the automotive aluminum division, like some European player or someone whom you can anchor it?
I can
competitor or let's say the guy who has been there for a very long time and
you're talking about the size of the aluminum business or you're talking
I'm talking about any competition in the auto aluminum division, any major competitor or any major benchmark company which you might be following.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have three big companies in Japan, but I would put the names to you. One is Ryobi, next is Hiroshima Daika Casters, third is RST. All of them are in the range of $1.3 to $1.5, $1.7 billion in top line, only in the aluminum business. They're quite fully integrated, some are with machining,
okay.
And most of them are with the making the dies also. But in Europe, you know very well, Linamar of Canada, Nemac of Mexico, they acquired a lot of companies in North America as well as in Europe. They're dominating the space, including George Fisher, I think, has been acquired. Then we have Martin Hansel, we have Rheinmetall, we have Euro Castings. There are players of more than 1 billion euro, 1 billion euro to around 3 billion euro. There are around 7-8 players in Europe, either owned, they are standalone in Europe or maybe owned by companies from like Linamar of Canada or it may be Nemac of Mexico. This is a well-known fact. I am freely using their names because they are market leaders. And Magna is also a very big name in North America. But all of them are more than $1 billion. That is very, very clear. Maybe $2-3 billion also.
So the scale is very big. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. Very insightful. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello. Good evening, sir. And thank you for taking my question. Sir, I'm a bit new to the company, so sorry if my questions are a bit basic. I just got a bit confused when you were referring to 20% growth on value added and on reported terms. So could you just help me figure that out? 20% growth, we're talking about the revenue that we just did about 770 crores, right? Or how does that factor in?
We have been advocating in the past that top line minus COGS is the value addition. And that is the real work the company does. Otherwise, it is a commodity price fluctuation which is either inflating the top line or depressing the top line accordingly, which is not an apple-to-apple comparison. When you look on year-on-year with this sort of large movements in the commodity prices, which we have witnessed in the last 2-3 years. So our margin comes from the work we do, and that is we call it the top line minus the cost. That is the value addition or some of the calculations. Some of the way of denoting that is the gross profit, totally. So when we say growth, we say normally that growth in gross profit or growth in value addition.
Oh, so basically we're talking about growth. Okay, thank you so much. That helps me a lot. And other thing I just wanted to ask about are margins. We just said about aluminum and I've understood about that. So, now that 10% drop has come, so going forward we'll have similar margins that we had in previous quarters, right?
If the operating leverage remains the same, if the top line is getting depressed because of demand, then our overheads absorption will not be sufficient enough.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I want to understand your view on the energy cost as is currently it spike a lot. So how we are seeing the impact on our company overall view on the energy side?
We are not an energy intensive usage company as a whole. If you look at the top line for H1, the power and fuel has been 70 crore on a top line of 1,446 crore totally.
Okay. So we don't have any impact because of the increased energy cost in Europe?
No, there is impact globally because of the energy cost of the fuel, which has increased, and also in India, power cost also is increasing. As I mentioned that today on our top line, it's around 5%. So it may go up to 6%, 7% if there's a big growth. There is an impact. It's an impact for everybody. It is on public domain, whatever is there. From state to state, it varies on the power cost, but at least the diesel or the gas, CNG or LPG gas also we use for melting, there has been a little bit different from state to state. There has been an increase all over.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for the active participation and also the detailed questions, which also helps us to do some thinking again, whether we are on the right track. Yes, we are confident about the company, and we have demonstrated that over the last six quarters, we are a very versatile company, and we have withstood the different ups and downs in the industry which has happened and still managed to grow. We'll keep that spirit up going forward, and thank you for all your support.
On behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.